Mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is with much joy that I share with you this morning the treasures of Scripture. I'm thankful for this privilege, as it is a privilege indeed. I'd like to read from Hebrews 3:15 to 4:2 again. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. This morning, as we work through this passage, I want to focus on three points. First, the one who is speaking. Second, those who disobeyed and the nature of their disobedience. And the third point, the good news and the implications of either listening to or rejecting the message being spoken. There is one who has spoken to us. He has indeed spoken to us clearly. The one who has spoken to us is telling us in verse 15, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. There are some of you here today who have heard this voice in Scripture and you have taken heed to the words written in it because you know the one who is speaking and you have believed the message. Some of you may have heard this voice for years and have failed to listen. You have refused him who is speaking because you do not truly know him. He is Yahweh, the covenant God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Psalms tell us that the voice of the Lord is powerful, that the voice of the Lord is full of majesty, that the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars and strips the forest bare. The message that is proclaimed has authority because of him who has spoken. He is King and Lord over all creation, and from his high and holy place he reigns with an iron scepter, and with it he has promised to dash into pieces all his enemies. Isaiah writes of him, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of earth as emptiness. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like those who rebelled in the wilderness. The voice of God in the Scriptures can be related to the voice of a mother or of a father. It can at times be bittersweet to the ears of a child. At the same time that it can instill feelings of comfort, love, and security, it can also rouse feelings of fear and anxiousness. Take a small group of brothers and sisters, for example. Their father, sternly yet gently, warns his children to return home before sundown. The children run off into the woods behind the house, climbing trees and playing in rivers. Hours later, right as the top of the sun may be seen almost resting upon the ridge of the mountain, some of the children return home. Another hour goes by, and the sun is now completely hidden behind the face of the mountain. A loud voice echoes through the woods, signaling the children to come home. It is at this point that those children, the ones who refused their father's warning, are now anxiously expecting the discipline of their father that is waiting for them at the house. They tremble at the voice of him who warned them. And what of those who obeyed their father's warning? They were spared and remained in the light of their father's countenance in good pleasure. You see, this mighty covenant God had brought his people out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery to the Egyptians. He did this with powerful might and with signs and wonders. God had split the Red Sea so that the Israelites could pass through safely on dry ground, and the same God closed the sea upon the Egyptians who suffered the terror of his vengeance. We see his mercy to those who obey him and his wrath to those who disobey him. And in truly knowing him who is speaking to us this morning in Hebrews, we know and understand with sobriety the severity of this message that he gives to his people. But there were some who were Israelites by birth, but who were not true Israelites. You see, they heard the message. They witnessed the grace of God, but the message did not benefit them because they were not united with those who had faith. They disobeyed the message and did not believe God. It was to them that God swore that they would not enter into his rest. They were the ones who died in the wilderness and experienced God's awful wrath. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like those who rebelled in the wilderness, those who did not give thanks for God's saving mercies and loving grace, those who do not worship him in spirit and in truth. In the book of Hebrews, we see an interesting parallel between the old covenant people of God and the new covenant people of God. The people of Israel were pilgrims, trekking through the wilderness, greeted by trials and temptations, longing for and hoping to enter into God's rest. For the Israelites, this rest was the promised land of Canaan. It was an inheritance, a resting place for God's people who were being led out of the harshness of the wilderness. But this physical rest also pointed to a greater rest, a rest that may only be entered into at the establishment of the new heavens and the new earth, where the dwelling place of God will be with man, and where there will be no more death and sin, and no more wilderness trials and temptations. We too, under the new covenant, are a wilderness congregation. We who have believed in the message, who rest in the righteousness of Christ alone for our salvation, are counted among the faithful, who along with the old covenant saints are strangers and exiles on the earth and desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. And it is because we believe and hope in the promises of God in Christ and look forward toward the promised rest that is not of this present earth that God is not ashamed to be called our God. He has indeed prepared for us a city, an eternal rest and salvation for those who believe in Jesus and obey the message. But today, if you hear his voice in the word of Scripture, and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, if you have not believed and obeyed the message of the gospel, do not harden your hearts like those who rebelled in the wilderness, who were destroyed and were denied access into God's rest. For we read in Hebrews 3:16 through 19, that it was the disobedient ones among God's covenant people that God swore would never enter into his rest. You see, God was provoked by their disobedience for 40 long years. The author of Hebrews calls them rebels. On many occasions, their rebellion led to their own death as they suffered the consequence of sinning against a holy God who had promised them blessings for obedience and cursings for disobedience. People of God, the error of their disobedience, according to the author of Hebrews, was their unbelief. It was unbelief that led to the destruction of thousands among the old covenant community in the wilderness. They stand as an example for us today. For as Hebrews 12:25 puts it, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven." Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as those who rebelled in the wilderness. Many of you may be asking yourselves right now, why all these warnings? For what reason, in a letter to a Christian church, is the author warning and pointing back to those who rebelled? It's very easy for us to assume that everyone in the church has heard and obeyed the message. But it's very likely that we have people in our congregations who have not truly believed. And in addition, we need that message just as much as they do, for God uses these passages to preserve us. The author of Hebrews tells us in chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us, just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." God has indeed promised to preserve his people, and he is faithful to his word. All those whom God has elected will be saved and will persevere to the end. These warning passages that we read in Hebrews and other parts of Scripture, they are reminders to God's people that we have truly come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. It is very likely that the author of Hebrews is writing with certain people in mind, people who are having doubts and are tempted to turn away from the message that they have heard with unbelief in their hearts. And it is likely that some of you have had doubts and temptations of unbelief in the past and may even be experiencing these doubts and temptations now. I would indeed be a liar if I told everyone here that I have never experienced doubts or temptations. But people of God, one of the most wonderful truths of Scripture that we may meditate upon is this, that Jesus is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but in every respect, he has been tempted just as we are and yet without sin. He was made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest for us. If you are sitting here today, if you are weary, if you are struggling to continue your wilderness journey, if you have struggled with unbelief or have been tempted to give up, fix your eyes on Christ. How marvelous is it to remind ourselves that Jesus, in addition to being 100% and fully God, was 100% and fully man. He knows our aches and pains. He knows the depths of our brokenness, and he knows what it's like to suffer temptation. For he too was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. The Lord Jesus knows your woes, not only because he's omniscient, but also because he took to himself a human nature. He knows as we know, yet without sin. And this is our hope, that by faith union, his life becomes our life. His righteousness becomes our righteousness, so that even in our weakness, our God is mighty, not only to save us, but to preserve us to the end as he has promised us. Not only that, but the presence of Christ is with us by the Holy Spirit, who has sealed us, who is himself the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of the glory of God the Father in Christ Jesus. Even in the midst of struggling with doubts and temptations of unbelief, our God is near to us, and by grace he has promised to preserve those whom he has saved. So, what have we to do with the ancient church? What could we possibly have in common with the saints of old, especially those to whom the author of Hebrews is writing to? Everything. And the reason is because we are the same church. We are the same people of God and share in the same inheritance in Christ Jesus. We are foreigners and exiles in the land, a congregation in the wilderness awaiting our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead us to that final and eternal rest, that we may enter into that heavenly city that God has prepared for us. Beloved saints in Christ, the promise of God's rest still stands. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like those who rebelled in the wilderness. We must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For good news came to us, just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Let us be those who listen. And if you have put your faith in Christ, if you have believed and now rest in his perfect righteousness as your plea before God for the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation of your soul, then the message you now hear this day benefits you. What is this good news that benefits those who believe? By faith in Christ, we are united to Christ. And we receive his righteousness as our very own righteousness, as if we ourselves had lived perfectly before God and had met every demand of God's holy law. By faith, the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us according to the perfect life of Christ on our behalf. And the eternal wrath of God that we rightly deserved for our sin and rebellion and unbelief fell upon Christ as he hung, crucified, humiliated, and condemned as a criminal. This is the present state of affairs for all who believe. the life, death, and resurrection of Christ become our life, death, and resurrection by faith alone. But what of those who hear this message and reject it? Those who harden their hearts like those in the wilderness? According to the letter of Jude, it was Jesus who saved the people out of the land of Egypt. But it was also Jesus who afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And he was righteous and just for doing so, for the wages of sin is death, and the Lord is a holy judge who does not clear the guilty of their wicked deeds apart from faith in Christ. If we do not understand who is speaking to us, we cannot appreciate the severity of rejecting him who is speaking. It is the Son of God by whom God has spoken in these last days. It is through him that God created all things in heaven and on earth. The Son of God is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He is the image of the invisible God, and in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The Son of God is the man, Christ Jesus. To reject the message of Christ is to reject God, because he is God. And it is by him that God will judge the secrets of men on that last and most terrible day, the day of the Lord. In Hebrews 10:28, the author writes that anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. He continues, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God? At the end of chapter 10, he writes again, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. To those who have rejected the message of Christ Jesus up until this present day, I tell you, and God warns you, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. If you hear his voice, if you repent and believe in the gospel, you will be saved. To quote the Apostle Paul, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is grace and peace and mercy and forgiveness from God for all who repent and put their trust and faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Do not be like those in the wilderness, but be united with those who have faith. And for those who have believed in Christ, press on, persevere, and don't give up. Hope in God and wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead for our justification, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your most glorious grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have endured with us and have been patient with us as we trek through this wilderness, Lord God, as we suffer temptations and trials, as we often fall short, Lord God. And not only us, but the whole world you have been patient with. And we thank you, Lord, that during this time of patience, Lord God, you freely offer the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that many may repent and believe in this gospel and be saved, Lord God. Lord, we pray that for us who know you, Lord God, that your word would strengthen us and encourage us, even in the darkest of times, Lord, that you may be glorified to preserve us, that we may persevere to the end. And Lord God, for those who have heard the message and have not believed, we pray, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would work salvation in their hearts, Lord God. Thank you for your holy word, as it is a gift to us indeed. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins in the name of Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. Please rise. We'll have a closing hymn and then a closing prayer. Please use the opportunity afterward to speak with Ian, say hello to Carolyn and any others that we have here today. Bow for our closing hymn. I'm sorry, our closing prayer. Our dearest Lord and Heavenly Father, this beautiful weather, the sunshine, all the green we see around us, it all helps to create in us a joy. A joy knowing that all of these things were created by you. But even on those days, such as last night, when the thunder and the lightning chased many people inside, everyone was afraid of the wrath of just a creation of yours, what could happen. We know, Father, that it is your desire that all would come to you. Yet we know that you have told us that you know that they will not. But Father, you have set before us a path. You have told us what we must do. First to accept, then to go out. And we pray, Father, that we would take both of these things very seriously this week. Help us, Father, to bring honor and glory to your name, to always be thankful for your Son, Jesus, the fact that he was willing to give up his life for us. We thank you for never losing sight of us. Even before you knew us, you knew the number of the hairs on our heads. And Father, you have given us your word, and we would pray, Father, that we would keep it holy, that we would keep it as you intended, that we would spread it as you intended, and that the Holy Spirit would be used as you intended. Father, this week and this day, give us the strength we need to be called your children. to be called the children of God, to be different from those around us, to be loving, to be a light, and to be a beacon, and to let others know that they do not have to live in fear. Not of what man can do, and not of what death may bring. Father, we pray these things. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.